Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. This is God's word. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him, listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus has been traveling around. Jesus has been teaching concerning the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus has been casting out demons. Jesus has been healing sick people. Jesus is becoming famous. And as a result, the crowds are so eager not just to hear what he says, but to receive these miracles to get healed. Let me just ask you a question right now in this room. If Jesus was physically manifested, he showed up physically as he was in New Testament times, and said, "Is there anyone here who has any sort of physical affliction? Anything bothering you? Sinus trouble? Anything at all? Any physical problem?" Raise your hand. How many of you right now have a physical problem that you'd love to be healed of? Okay, let me see. Wait a minute. I'm going to count. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're not going to get healed if you don't raise your hand. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. You know, I don't know what's wrong with the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, but I mean, just about everybody's got problems. Just about everybody has a problem. Some years ago, Dr. Harold Lindzel and his wife went as journalists to, he was the editor of Christianity Today magazine, and he went to this meeting where a supposed faith healer was operating. He wasn't there because he was convinced it was real. He was there simply to report on the phenomenon back in the 1970s as to what was going on. And she asked all of the people who were ordained clergy to please stand. Well, I mean, in a group of thousands, there were hundreds who stood. And she said, "Oh, you know, that's marvelous." And she said, "I want to have a special prayer for you." And then she went over to this Dr. Harold Lindzel, who was a well-known scholar and so forth, and she said, "I want to pray for you. Is there anything that you would like for me to pray for?" And Dr. Lindzel had hearing loss and, as a result, wore hearing aids that were built into his the frames of his glasses. It was, instead of having these large, cumbersome things like hearing aids used to be, they were able to build them, if you could pay enough, build them into the frames of the glasses. My older brother, who was Dr. Lindzel's son-in-law, teased Dr. Lindzel that He was the only man he knew who was so insecure about wearing glasses that he disguised them as hearing aids. But in any case, that's an aside. Dr. Lenzel was there, and he immediately said, well, yes, he said, I would appreciate it if you'd pray for my healing. And she said, okay, I'll be glad to do that. And she said, but I really sense right now I'm supposed to pray for your wife. Would you please stand, Mrs. Lenzel? And Mrs. Lenzel stood up and she said, I want to pray for you. I believe you have a problem that results from an injury that happened, and she named the amount of time ago. And she said, and it's been causing headaches. And she said, I'm going to pray for you. And she prayed for Mrs. Lenzel's headaches as a result of that injury. And Mrs. Lenzel thought, well, I do have chronic headaches, but what in the world is she talking about with an injury? So she went back and she looked in her diary back to the time that this person had named. And lo and behold, she'd been in a car wreck where she got rear-ended. And the headaches had started shortly after that. And she had never associated the two. And no doctor had associated the two. But apparently God associated the two and healed her that day. And her headaches went away. And Dr. Lenzel got to keep his hearing loss. Now, my point in telling that story is that if you knew that God was healing people right and left, I mean just all over the place, if that became the reputation, everybody would be crowding around, right? And the crowds came from all around, and they were so thick and so eager that they were pressing against Jesus, and this happened more than once in his ministry. The crowds, look at the beginning of the chapter, were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. So Jesus had to get a little space between himself and the people. So he got into a boat and went out on the water and then sat there in the boat on the water and was able to speak up onto the land where the people were crowded to hear what he had to say. And Jesus is teaching them. And we have many examples of the kind of thing Jesus taught. But one of the things you see if you study Jesus' teaching is that his typical pattern was to tell stories. He told story after story after story after story, and thereby made his point to those who were his followers and left the other people wondering, what does it mean? That was an interesting story, but I don't get the point. I don't understand the meaning. And Jesus was even asked by his disciples, why do you tell these stories? Why do you always tell stories? And he said, so that they won't understand, because this is what was prophesied in Isaiah. Now, a lot of people would say the reason that Jesus told stories was so that everybody could understand. But people who say that haven't studied what Jesus said. Because that's not what Jesus said. He said he told parables so that people would not understand. But there were some other people who were supposed to understand, like the 12. And on occasion when they would say, you know, we don't get it. Could you explain that one to us? He'd say, you still don't get it? So, Jesus is teaching. The crowds are standing on the shore. And Jesus is talking to them again about the kingdom of God. But, after he has finished speaking, he says to the boat owner, Simon. You remember Simon? He's the one whose mother-in-law Jesus had healed in the previous verses. He says to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Let down the nets for a catch. Now, what did Jesus' father, Joseph, do for a living? He was a carpenter. Okay? So, if Jesus grew up in his home learning a trade, what would Jesus' expertise, humanly speaking, have been? Carpentry. Jesus was a carpenter in the eyes of people. So should a carpenter be telling a fisherman how to fish? Simon was a professional fisherman. He was a commercial fisherman. He did this for a living. He wasn't just some guy who liked to compete in fishing tournaments. He earned his living and supported a team of people. He had employees and business partners, and they made their living fishing. So what's a carpenter doing telling the fisherman how to fish? And it's a frustrating time because Simon has spent all night with his crew fishing and they've caught nothing. Nothing. And now Jesus says, let down your nets. And Peter's first response is to protest, Lord. I mean, it's a lot of work when you've brought the nets up and you've cleaned them and you've repaired them and you want to wait until you're really ready to go fishing before you let your nets down. You don't just do it because it's fun. Well, hey, let's just see if we find anything. That's not a good plan. And so listen to his words to Jesus. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. I don't know if Jesus gave him a look or what. Okay? I mean, he may have just stopped with, you know, we haven't caught anything. Jesus just... Simon says, but we'll do it. Yeah, we can, sure. You want the nets down? We'll put the nets down. I've gotten those looks from Jesus before. I don't mean literally that I see him with my eyes. I mean I've had those moments when God told me to do something and I explained why it wasn't a good idea and then all of a sudden I realized who I was talking to and I thought, okay, got it, right, I'll do it. See, it doesn't have to be a good idea from our perspective. This was a dumb idea from Simon's perspective, but he did it because Jesus said so. Jesus said so. That's why you do it. He didn't do it because he felt like it. He didn't do it because of the intellectual appeal of an argument. It was a simple word from Jesus. Jesus said to him, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Jesus told him where to go, what to do, and what to expect. And none of that made sense to Simon, but he did it. And as always happens with the Word of God, it was fulfilled. Exactly what Jesus said happened. And it happened beyond what they could have asked or imagined. Picture yourself. If you haven't been around net fishing, I hope you get the opportunity someday. We had net fishermen in our church on Cape Cod. They were commercial fishermen who used nets to catch fish, and they caught a lot of fish. When they put down the nets, suddenly they had more than they could handle. Okay? They literally couldn't get the nets into the boat because they were so full of fish. And so Simon has to call for help. Now picture, this is ambivalence, all right? On the one hand, you're absolutely thrilled because this is what you do for a living. You want to catch fish. You spent all night trying to catch fish. Part of you is very excited because suddenly you have a bunch of fish. On the other hand, part of you is absolutely terrified. Because how did this happen? How did he do that? What is going on? And my nets are breaking, and I can't even get them in the boat. So he calls for help, and his business partners come out with their boat, and they, come on, come on, guys, pull hard, pull hard. And they pull them into the boats, and the boats start to sink. That's what it says. I'm not making that up or exaggerating. Look. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now what you don't want when you're in a boat is to sink. Okay, that's why if you wanted to go for a swim, you wouldn't take the boat. Okay? The boats are sinking with the abundance that God has poured out. Is that amazing?
Yes, it's amazing. I had some sugary cereal this morning for breakfast, and I'm over the sugar rush now, and I'm about to doze off.
Think about it. Stop and think about it. They caught so many fish, they not only couldn't get them into the boat, but when they got them into the two boats, the boats start going down. They're over capacity. What do we do? Well, I mean, you can throw some of the fish back. Hate to do that because it's fish. This is what we were looking for. But this is more of a blessing than we're able to receive. Do you know what God promises? It promises. This is not the only time something like this happens in Scripture. God promises a cup that overflows. He promises to pour out a blessing so great you won't be able to receive it. God promises to do that. Now, it's not like that all the time. You don't just, yes, I'm just constantly, every time I go to the gas pump, it just pours out on the ground. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But God, in His mercy, does beyond what we can imagine. It's more wonderful than we had dreamed. God's plans for us, His children, are beyond our comprehension. His love for us is greater than we can fully grasp. And so, the boats are sinking because they have so many fish. And Simon fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Do you ever feel like that? You ever feel like this is just too much, I can't handle this? Let me tell you, over and over and over in my life and in recent days, I have just cried out to God and said, "God, I can't believe how good you've been to me." It's not that, you know, I've never experienced any difficulty in my life. Actually, for the last 12 years, it's all just been bliss. No. We have sickness and heartache and things going wrong, but in the midst of it, we have the mercy of God and answers to prayer and forgiveness of sins and the joy of His presence. And I'm telling you, I'm amazed. Because I know that if I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell. And instead, I know because of the grace and mercy of God, I'm on my way to heaven. That's fantastic. Do you understand how good that is? My heart overflows. God has been kind. I have so much to be grateful for. But I sure don't deserve it. And so when Peter, Simon, is literally frightened by this display of the power of God. I mean, there's no other explanation. He knows this is God's power at work, and he's frightened by it. And he says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not." This is one of those 365 times in the Scriptures where we're told, don't be afraid. 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 Why does God tell us that? Because we have a tendency to fear the wrong stuff. Instead of fearing God as we should, we fear all kinds of other things. I'm afraid something's going to go wrong. I'm afraid I'll be rejected. I'm afraid that people won't like me. I'm afraid that I might have cancer. I'm afraid that I might get a flat tire. I'm afraid that the plane might crash. I'm afraid of... What are you afraid of? If you fear the Lord, you don't have to fear anything else. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But sometimes I still feel fear. Oh, it's okay to feel fear, just don't be afraid. You can feel fear, but don't give in to it. Don't let fear govern you. Let God govern you. You trust Him. You do what He says, regardless of how you feel. If you feel fear, that's okay. If you become afraid, that's not okay. Do not be afraid. From now on, Jesus says, you're going to catch fish like this every time you go out. Is that what He said? I'm sorry, I took my glasses off. Did I miss something? He didn't say, from now on, you're going to catch lots and lots of fish? No. He said, from now on, you'll be catching men. Now, I want to ask you a question. How hard would it be for Jesus to give them this kind of fishing success every day? Would that be difficult for Jesus? No problem at all. You're dealing with the one who invented fish, okay? He designed fish. They were His idea, okay? This is God in the flesh in the boat. It is not hard for Him to come up with lots and lots and lots and lots of fish. But if at the end of your life, all you've done is catch more fish than anybody else on the Sea of Galilee, what have you accomplished? You'll smell like fish. Okay? I mean, what does it all amount to? What is your life about?
Well, I may not have had the greatest education. And I wasn't the fastest runner in school. But by golly, I caught more fish than anybody else on the lake.
Well, good for you. Okay. I mean, I know people whose lives are like that. The summation of their lives is some award they won in high school or college. That's it.
Yeah, you see that? See that right there? See that right over there? I won that.
It's like, how many years ago was that? What have you done lately? What are your accolades? What are you really excited about? What are your goals?
I want to have the biggest monster truck in the county. Yeah.
I mean, what are you looking for? What are you hoping to do? Jesus takes a guy whose goal was to catch fish, and Jesus says, catching fish is easy. Watch this. He has so many fish, he can't fit them in the boat. Jesus says, now I've got a different goal for you. I have something else in mind for you. Nothing sinful about catching fish. Simon wasn't doing something evil out there on the lake.
Yes, we were out in the middle of the night because we were going to catch fish, do not tell.
No, there was nothing sinful going on. But Jesus says, I want you to do more than that. I have other things in mind for you. From now on, you're going to be concerned about people. You're going to be catching men. You're going to be calling people into the kingdom of God. Let me just tell you something. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to care about people and where they spend eternity. You can't be a follower of Christ and not care that people are going to hell. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ and indifferent to the lostness of your neighbors. You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and not be troubled by the wickedness that surrounds us. It will stir you because God cares. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you love Him and you follow him, you will share in what he cares about. It's inevitable. So are you saying every one of us has to become a full-time vocational evangelist? No! For goodness sake. I'm saying whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will see people not just in terms of what they can do for you, but you will see them in terms of their relationship with Jesus Christ. Do they know him? Do they know the Lord? I was talking to a doctor yesterday from Knoxville, neurosurgeon, called me on the phone about my son's case, and just wanting to know how Paul was getting along and wanting to talk with us about the possibility of having care in Knoxville. And as we're talking, after a few moments, he said, I can tell from the things that you're saying that you're an intelligent person, but you seem also to be a spiritual person. Would that be true? And I said, well, I think you could say that. And he said, well, I hope you don't mind my asking, but would you say that you're a Christian? And I said, yes, that's definitely the case. And he said, well, good. Let me tell you, I too am a Christian. And I would just rather have that on the table so that we don't have to skirt around it. And we began to talk as brothers in the Lord. Because you see, he wasn't just concerned about my son's neurosurgical needs. He was looking at us and seeing people who are spiritual beings and going to spend forever somewhere. And that's more important by far than where we're going to spend the next 100 years. Is that clear? It's more important by far. So, as you seek to follow Jesus, I want you to see what he says here. From now on, you'll catch men. Jesus doesn't say, someday you may get to the point where you will actually possibly be able to catch men. He says, no. That is normative. That's to be expected. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then as you go, you should be in the process of calling people to follow Jesus, looking for the opportunity to do so. Verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Left everything. How radical is that? Well, what are we going to do for a living? We're going to follow Jesus. Well, where are we going to get our food? Did you see what he did with the fish? Let me tell you, it is not hard for Jesus to meet our needs. Every year here at the ranch, we tell people, pray, we need a year-end miracle. Right? Those of you who've worked here a while, you've heard that. We need a year-end miracle. Have we ever not had a year-end miracle? Every year, God does what's needed. God always does what's, and it's always miraculous. Literally, this year, it was like, it's getting awfully close to the end and it's not looking good. Mr. Brian crunches the numbers and he sends me a memo and he says, just so you're aware of where we are, this is what's going on. And, you know, I just, you know, we're not sure how it's going to work out, but it works out. Some years are better than others, but everyone's good. Because God's faithful and he knows our needs. And we wouldn't be here apart from him. I've had the directors of other ministries come and visit our place and weep because they say, this is a miracle. You don't take any government money? No government money whatsoever? I don't know how you do it. Well, God. The executive director of a secular charity, not a religious charity, a secular charity. I won't name the charity, but it's a large charity. It takes in millions of dollars. Visited the ranch. And he said, let me ask you a question. He said, how many people do you have on your fundraising team? This is several years back. I said, none. And he said, well, you must be the greatest fundraiser in America. And I said, no, not really. And he said, well, how do you do it? Where does the money come from? And I said, God sends it. And he said, yeah, but come on. He said, you got to be out there beating the bushes. And I said, nope, not really. How does it happen? The same one who said, let down your nets, is able to pour out blessings so great we don't know how to receive them. We're trusting in him. He's faithful. God is good. Don't be afraid to follow him. But realize that when you follow him, you're not just looking for fish. He can take care of all that. That's no problem. But you're looking for people. The goal is that people might know him. So what's the takeaway? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to be catching people. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to be catching people. That is the main point. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus to catch us. We were falling, we were flailing, we were floundering, we were lost. You rescued us. And we praise you and thank you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to truly follow so that our lives would be transformed and we would be effective in reaching others for you. And we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.